Once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry. Great to be with you this morning. We've been talking the last couple of weeks about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And altogether, there's about 22 gifts listed in three different passages of Scripture in the Bible. And we're talking about the office gifts or the fivefold ministry. And if you would turn in your Bible to Ephesians 4, start in verse 11. These are the gifts that Jesus gave when he released the captives out of captivity in hell, and he took the Old Testament saints with him to sit down at the right hand of God. And it said at that time he dispensed or dispersed the gifts. And in verse 11 of Ephesians 4, it says he gave some as apostles, some as prophets, some as evangelists, some as pastors, and some as teachers. And so that is considered by most to be the fivefold ministry. That is the office gifts, the structure, the framework by which the church operates. In other words, this is like the CEO and the vice president and the treasurer, the secretary of a secular corporation. These are the gifts with the authority and the power to set up the framework and set up the structure of the church. And so these gifts come with a great anointing. They come with great authority. They come from the calling of God, from the ordination of God. Paul said, I wasn't called to be an apostle by man. I wasn't appointed by man. I was appointed by God, and I was not sent out by an agency of man. And so this is true for all of the apostolic and the ordained gifts, the fivefold ministry, the office gifts. They are not of man. They are not sent out by man. They are sent out by Jesus Christ and by God. And so today we're going to be looking at the office of prophet. And some of you may have been taught that prophets no longer exist. Well, I want you to know that the Lord has not given up on his prophets. He still has prophets running around. There's people prophesying all over the place. And the prophets are the guides. They're the ones who come into the body of Christ to guide the body of Christ, to give words of instruction, words of exhortation. 1 Corinthians 14:1, Paul says, pursue love, yet earnestly desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. Verse 3, one who prophesies speaks to men for edification, for exhortation, and for consolation. So edification is you build them up with the prophetic word. You build them up. And anybody who has had a prophetic word spoken over you, you know how true that is. The word strengthens you, strengthens your walk, it builds you up. If it's truly from God and inspired by the Holy Spirit, you know that it inspires you to move stronger in your walk, move stronger into the kingdom. And so it builds you up, and therefore it builds up the body of Christ. And secondly, it's for exhortation or encouragement. We all get discouraged. We all get disappointed at times. We all get down at times and sometimes question God or want to lay back and slow down. And so for exhortation, it's to encourage. It's as if a coach exhorts his team to get out there and finish the game, finish strong. And lastly, it is for consolation. There are times when we are heartbroken. There's times when we're down. There's times when we are very discouraged. And so for consolation, it gives comfort to us through the Holy Spirit. It gives comfort and peace to our hearts. So we are comforted and know that God cares about us, knows that God cares about every detail of our life. And so that is a prophecy. It stems from the fact that Jesus Christ is the spirit of prophecy. Verse 10 in Revelation 19, John is standing before the angel of the Lord, and he says, I fell at his feet to worship him, and the angel said to me, do not do that. I am a fellow servant of yours and your brethren who hold the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. And so the testimony of Jesus, well, what is the testimony of Jesus? The testimony of Jesus says that I love you, I came to die for you, I came to set you free from your sins, I came to shed my precious blood for you. And if you were the only person on the face of the earth, if you were the only person left here, or the only person that was here when I came, I would have shed my blood for you. And so you're very important to God. You're very important to Jesus. The details of your life are known to them. And so they care about every detail of your life. And so Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. He came here to die for us. He came to save us from our sins. And he came to edify and to exhort and to console us. And so that is a great comfort to know that God and Jesus care about us very much. Well, verse 5 in 1 Corinthians 14, Paul goes on to explain a bit about prophecy. He says, "Now I wish that you all spoke in tongues, but even more that you would prophesy. And greater is one who prophesies than one who speaks in tongues, unless he interprets, so that the church may receive edifying." And so Paul is saying, in the church, when one gives a message in tongues, there must be interpretation to go with it, so that the people know what is being spoken, so that the people understand what is being said. But with prophecy, since it's spoken in the same language, there is no reason for interpretation. And so prophecy comes straight forth from the prophet into the hearts of men. And so for that reason, it is held in higher regard than tongues, unless tongues are accompanied by interpretation. Well, in 1 Corinthians 14:31, Paul goes on to say, "You can all prophesy one by one, so that all may learn and all may be exhorted." And then verse 32, "And the spirits of prophets are subject to the prophets, for God is not a God of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints." Well, all of this instruction in 1 Corinthians 14 is about how the prophet is to function in the church, how the prophet is to minister in the church. And many of us probably have been taught over the years that God no longer has prophets. He no longer has use for prophets because now we have God's Word. Well, praise God for God's Word. I'm very, very thankful that we have it. I'm grateful to the Lord for His Word. And His Word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. And so we're very grateful for that. But there is no place in the Bible that says that prophets have been extinguished or done away with, and that there's no apostles. In fact, contrary to that, these offices are in great abundance and in operation today. And so as we learn from them, these people who have been appointed by God, as we receive from them, why then the kingdom of God is empowered to deal with the enemy. The kingdom of God is empowered with these gifts to be equipped to deal with the enemy and the strategies of the enemy. And so God is not a God of confusion. He's not a God who's backing up. He's a God that's moving forward. And so when you hitch your wagon to the kingdom of God, you're going to move forward not only in your personal walk, but also as you join a church or as you're functioning in a church body, then the church also moves forward in the power and presence of the Holy Spirit, and the kingdom of God then is empowered to deal with the enemy. 1 Corinthians 12:28 tells us about the appointing of these offices in the church, and it says in verse 28, "And God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers or pastors, and then miracles, then gifts of healings, then helps, administrators, various kinds of tongues." And so Paul says in the church, the most important thing is first the apostles. They go in and lay down the groundwork. They go in and lay down the foundation. And then he says, secondly is the prophets. That second's in importance because the prophets come in and they give guidance. They give a correction. They give words of correction. They give words of exhortation to build up, and words of edification and consolation. And so the prophets are very important. And brother and sister, if you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, if you are a born-again believer and you have the Holy Spirit indwelling in you, you have the gift of prophecy. And so just start listening to the Holy Spirit. Just start listening to see what the Holy Spirit would say to you. And I believe that if you start to listen and get the clutter out of your mind, get the clutter out of your life, and just start listening to what the Holy Spirit would say to you, that you would be astonished at how much of a gift of prophecy you have, how much you would be able to speak for the Lord, how much you would be able to speak what the Holy Spirit speaks to you, because each of us, as believers, have this gift of prophecy because it comes directly from the Holy Spirit of God. Well, that begs the question, if you are not a believer and you are just listening this morning, maybe out of curiosity, or maybe you don't have a walk with the Lord started, God wants you to get a walk started. He wants you to have that spirit of prophecy. He wants you to come to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. He wants you to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And so if you would start your walk today, today is a great day to start it. Do not harden your heart. Do not turn away from the Lord. Today is the day for you to make a choice to begin your walk, to start embracing the kingdom of God in your life. And maybe you need to do business with the Lord today and just get down on your knees and ask the Lord to come in your life, come in and save you and save you from your sins. Maybe you need to get down on your knees and repent of some sin in your life and just say, Lord Jesus, I'm turning it over to you. I don't understand all about prophecy or all of these things, but Lord, I just trust you. I trust that you can do something with my life, and so here it is. And when you do that, God will be faithful and true to lead you in the direction that he has called you. Faithful is he who called you, and he will bring it to pass. 1 Thessalonians 5:24. Faithful is he who called you, and he will bring it to pass. You don't have to do everything yourself. You don't have to get yourself cleaned up before you come to the kingdom. You just trust the Lord that he will take care of you, and he will be more than sufficient and more than able to do that as he takes care of you and washes you clean of your sinful life. Well, examples of New Testament prophets, there's a great example in Acts 21. Again, if this is in the New Testament, then it's obvious that we still have New Testament prophets, because this is not Old Testament prophecy here. Verse 8 in Acts 21, this is speaking of Paul, and Luke, the author, was with Paul as they journeyed to take the gospel into many places. And in verse 8 it says, on the next day we departed and came to Caesarea, and entering the house of Philip the evangelist, who was one of the seven, that is, one of the seven original appointed evangelist deacons back in Acts 7, we stayed with him. Now this man had four virgin daughters who were prophetesses. And so there's a reference to New Testament prophets or prophetesses, ladies in this particular instance. And so these four virgin daughters of the evangelist Philip were prophetesses, and so they were apparently of significant enough prophetesses that Luke made mention of them, or noted that in this account where he and Paul are traveling through Caesarea. And then in verse 10, and as we were staying there for some days, a certain prophet named Agabus came down from Judea, and coming to us, he took Paul's belt and bound his own feet and hands and said, this is what the Holy Spirit says. In this way, the Jews at Jerusalem will bind the man who owns this belt and deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles. Well, that prophecy, you could say, wasn't exactly edification. It wasn't exactly building Paul up. It might put a little shiver of fear in him, or a little shiver of, do I really want to go through with this? But it was exhorting in a way. Certainly, it was exhorting in saying that, this is coming, but be encouraged, Paul. This is coming, but be encouraged, because you will endure this, and you will come and rise above this as you minister and as you go to Jerusalem. Well, when Paul heard this, verse 12, we as well as the local residents began begging Paul not to go to Jerusalem. And Paul answered, and he said, what are you doing, weeping and breaking my heart? For I am ready not only to be bound, but even to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus. And since he would not be persuaded, we fell silent, remarking, the will of the Lord be done. Well, many times when a person is getting ready to minister, especially if he's ministering in a place where there might be some danger or some significant hardship, many people, even of the body of Christ in the church, will come and try to persuade him not to, and try to tell him, no, don't do this. All Agabus was doing as a prophet was just saying, you're going to be bound. That's all he was saying. He wasn't saying anything beyond that. He's just saying, this is what the Holy Spirit is saying to me, which is the sign that is truly from God, is that the Holy Spirit was telling him this. He wasn't revealing anything else other than just what the Holy Spirit was saying. Well, of course, when the prophecy came, the people who were with Paul, they said, oh, Paul, don't do that. Don't go forward. Don't go forward. We want you here where it's safe and where it's secure. And many times, out of love for us, people will respond that way. They'll just say, don't go there. I can't tell you how many times people have said, don't go to Africa. There's danger there. There's this and there's that and all this. And maybe there is, but there's also danger staying right here in America. Any of us could be wiped out on the street here in America or suffer a heart attack or who knows what. I pray that doesn't happen to anybody listening today, but it can certainly happen. And so, you know, as you're sitting there watching TV worrying about what somebody may be doing for the kingdom, don't speak against what they're doing. Don't speak against what the Holy Spirit has showed them to do. When you do that, you're speaking against the kingdom of God. If you remember, Peter told Jesus, don't go down to Jerusalem where they're going to crucify you and make you suffer. Don't go down there. And Jesus said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. You're not speaking God's will, but you're speaking the enemy's will. And so many times we do that. We do it out of love and not thinking about what we're really saying. And when the Holy Spirit speaks to a person and says, go here, or go there, or do this or do that, the person who says, yes, I will, that person is going to receive a great blessing. And that person will move forward in the power and presence of the Holy Spirit with the blessing and the anointing of God on their life for saying yes. And ultimately, we're all going to have to suffer at some point for Jesus Christ. If you're not suffering, it makes me wonder, and you should wonder, you know, what you're doing for the kingdom of God. What are you really doing for the kingdom of God? If you're not suffering any persecution or there's no hardship in suffering, you need to challenge yourself just a little bit and try to do a little bit more for the kingdom. Not to earn salvation, not to earn anything, but just to identify yourself with the sufferings of Jesus Christ. Well, brothers and sisters, you all have a decision to make. We all do, whether it's to accept the prophetic calling. Some of you know that you've prophesied in the past. You have that gift, but you're not exercising it. You're not using it. Some of you maybe know that you need to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior today, or you may maybe need to submit yourself to baptism because you know that's the right thing to do, to submit yourself and to follow through with what God calls you to do. Wherever you're at in your walk with the Lord today, God wants to take you higher. I can tell you that. He wants to take you deeper and farther and higher. And so if you would move forward in that calling today, move forward in wherever God wants you to go, just be faithful and true and know that God is faithful and true on His end, and He will bring it to pass. It's not about you and what you can accomplish. It's not about your natural, your human attributes and accomplishments, but it's about the kingdom of God and what God wants to do through you. Well, if you've made any kind of a decision today, or you want to have me pray with you over anything in your life, prayer requests, or maybe you just have questions about the ministry or the teaching, get in touch with me, pureprairie@hotmail.com, and I'll be more than happy to respond to you. Well, thank you for listening today. God bless you. Have a great week. Tune in again next week.